If you think all car washes are made equally, you're in for a surprise when you experience the Caliber car wash difference. Free detailing stations, air guns, ultra UV protection, and the best washes on the market? Welcome to Caliber Car Wash. Make up for years of subpar washes. Caliber Car Wash memberships offer unlimited washes every month, and with membership tiers, there are options for every budget and wash preference. Are you ready to finally have the clean you've always wanted? Head to CaliberCarWash.com to find a location near you. It's time to experience the next level of car service with a limitless membership.
Well, Kate, this is good news because yes. It shows that the jobs market was in good shape in March. I think the bad news is there are growing fears that
this was March
and that this unfortunately may not last because of the trade war. Let me run you through the numbers. 228,000 jobs added in March. Now, this was stronger than expected. This really blew away forecasts for around 130,000. Also, this represents an acceleration from January and from February, both of which were revised lower. The unemployment rate, it did tick higher to 4.2%. That was expected. Okay. When we dig into some of the sectors here, the one that everyone's paying a lot of attention to right now is the federal government.
Yeah.
This report showed that federal government employment did fall by 4,000 in March. That follows a 10,000 drop in February, but we're likely just starting to see this in drips and drabs because a lot of people who were laid off, they're not yet collecting unemployment. So those numbers are likely to go even higher. Well, okay.
I think we all want good jobs numbers and unemployment, which we knew. Can I just remind everybody that I think it's been really difficult for people to, you know, accurately gauge the level of unemployment because, and we talked a little, was it yesterday we talked about this or was it Wednesday we talked about this? The reason being is because the previous administration lied about it. I mean, to an insane degree, I might add, to an absolutely insane degree, because we had a million jobs that exploded into the ether because they just made it up. And then after that came out, we just had a little accounting error here. And what we discovered is that, you know, these jobs are actually garbage. We made them up. So we're going to revise everything down. We've like lived through this forever. So getting good jobs news, I don't want to believe it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the number on the unemployment is due to government jobs that have been gone. DOGE has been doing these cuts. So when we see the unemployment number go down and we notice that the number of those jobs that were lost were all government jobs, this is good news.
And a quick note about, because I had someone, actually, let me pull this email up. I had someone that asked me about this. They said, why is it that there are people whose jobs are being cut, but yet there, you know, you keep saying that this stuff has to go through Congress. Yes. There are certain actions that the president can take under his authority as executive and everything that falls under that umbrella, so to speak. And being able to, and now there is a time limit, you know, there are limitations to this, being able to accurately assess and restructure, you know, the workforce that's under, you know, the Treasury or some of these other places that fall under the executive, that's completely within his authority to do so. What he can't do is, you know, change some of the appropriations. He can't change the money stuff that was determined by Congress. So there's a little bit of leeway there. However, the cuts aren't implemented, but they're able to implement personnel changes. Does that make sense to people? Because I had somebody that, and I get it. I mean, I get the confusion because you hear that, well, I thought this stuff couldn't be done until Congress voted on it. So why are these, you know, they're questioning because there's such a deluge of propaganda out there that I get that they've got questions and maybe they don't quite understand how it all happened. So anyway, we're going to dive into that and right off the gate, and we're going to dive into all of the latest stuff with we got reconciliation. We also have the Oh boy, we got to come back to the proxy voting because POTUS spoke about it. So we got to get into all of that. Welcome to the show, Dana Loesch, with you. It's a weird rainy Friday. I hate rainy Fridays. Rainy Fridays are depressing. Rainy Fridays and rainy Mondays are sad. Although rainy Mondays, I can take way more than a rainy Friday, because rainy Fridays, it's like your weekend, right? And we're I think everybody's a little nervous. I think everybody was looking forward to this weekend. At least in Texas, you're not going to have much of one. So a million things to discuss here as we get started. And like we were just talking about with the jobs, I don't think that the economy has been trashed. I don't think it's been wrecked. I understand the concern that a lot of you have, especially, you know, your 401ks, things of that nature. I get all of that. But at the same time, I'm willing to, you know, see it. I'm willing to let it play out. Also, I have to say, and you'll have to forgive me if you're watching the live stream, channel 347. The rain has not yet washed all the allergens away. So your girl's on the struggle bus with her eyes this morning. She's on the struggle bus. So I will say that I want to let it play out, but I understand my friends who say, I thought you said that you hated taxes. Oh my gosh, I really want to name them. But I don't want it to be like Dana Loesch attacks. So I had my friend that messaged and said, well, I thought conservative, not to me, because I've been a little bit ambivalent about some of the tariffs, because I'm kind of in the middle. I see both sides of it. But I also hate the income tax, so that pushes me over into the pro-tariff side. But my friend was saying, oh, I thought that conservatives, and my friend is a capital L libertarian and writes for a couple publications, absolute brat. It's like, I thought you could hear the sneer in his text. I thought that conservatives hated taxes. Taxation is theft, right? So isn't this theft? And I'm like, okay. I understand the argument. I disagree with the context. And if it means lower prices and more manufacturing, I understand the argument. However, you realize, now I'm going to play devil's advocate for a moment. Bear with me. Kane's girding his loins over there. You know what you can do to make manufacturing return back to the United States, Kane? What? I got a great trick. It's a life hack.
Oh,
and you know, I'm really good with the life hacks.
Yeah.
It's just about making a better business environment in the United States and getting rid of all of the red tape, bureaucracy, and regulation that makes it very difficult to do business here and onshore jobs here. And that, you know, I don't know, that would, you could do, technically, you could do all of this without tariffs. That is true. You know, it is. Kane is so wanting to agree with me.
But if you're not resetting how we trade globally, whatever efforts we make domestically can still be affected.
True. But again, let me play devil's advocate. Can't you outcompete them?
Well, yeah, that's what you're essentially doing by implementing these Trump policies. You're bringing in businesses that, guess what? Tariff is zero when you manufacture and build here. So those countries who are interested in the zero tariff idea, that's going to bring in the manufacturing jobs that we've actually bled out over the last few decades, like 90,000 factories. That's crazy.
It is. It's crazy. It's crazy. So we're, I'm just saying, I think I get all of these. I get all of these. But again, I want to go back to, you know, if it removes income taxes, yay, I don't care. Get lay off my income. I'm totally fine with it. I told you guys, you get rid of the IRS for me. I am an easy buy and sell. I'm not even going to pretend. Leave my guns alone. Leave my money alone. We're good. I'm not even going to fake it. If you do this, you can tariff them all. I don't care. But without having gotten rid of the IRS and all that stuff, it's problematic. Very problematic. All right. So a couple of other things. Can we talk about, the proxy voting issue. POTUS, let me pull this up because he posted about it. I'm going to dive into this coming up after the break, but just to put it on your table, because I'm not going to have enough time this segment to do what I need to do. But POTUS did tweet about it, and he said that, he gave some support for it, I should say. He was tweeting about Jerome Powell and interest rates, which we're also going to talk about. Our friend Carol Roth is going to be on with us later today, too. But the POTUS is seemingly coming out now in favor of the proxy voting, which I as you know, entirely disagree. This is something that Republican Ana Paulina Luna and a Democrat have done. And I can I just make the point, proxy voting, first off, is super unconstitutional. Article 1, Section 5 would like to have a word. Everything that's laid out, everything required as it's required with quorums, everything, all of that, Article 1, Section 5, quorum, all of it. So aside from that, we've litigated this once. It's unconstitutional, number one. Number two, and I took issue with a couple of people I know, especially one who doesn't even live here in the United States, who is trying to argue that somehow it's attacking someone to disagree with this, which I think is an insanely unfair and remedial characterization. Because if you're criticizing a constitutional detour that inarguably, unequivocally was abused during COVID, that's a valid objection, and that's not attacking. I mean, I would like to think that people on the right are made of stronger stuff than to dissolve into a MIDOL tantrum and characterize any sort of disagreement or dissent, as the left does, as quote unquote attacking. So that's stupid progressive disparagement, number one. But, you know, I've also said with this, This is not poor planning on a lawmaker's side does not oblige voters to throw constitutional protections out the window. We went through this during COVID. You guys remember the fights over proxy voting during COVID. That's a true thing. And I saw a picture of Nancy Pelosi with a walker. That's who the proxy voting is really for. All Family Pharmacy is, this is a great partner for the show, and I've used them. They've helped me out quite a bit, especially when I was developing, as I told you before, strep throat. You know what that's like. And you also know what you need if you've ever had it before. All Family Pharmacy can help you out in a pinch. Shipping is about 2 to 4 days on average. You can also get things overnighted, as I did before. But they also have, you know, actual real treatments that Big Pharma and the government under the Biden administration worked together to shut down. They wanted to stop you from accessing things like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. I mean, you know, there's certain preventative things that you can have access to that don't work with Big Pharma's agenda if you have access to them. So that's why a lot of these alternatives and therapeutics are dismissed. At All Family Pharmacy, though, that's not what they do. You can visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and use code Dana for 10% off of your entire order. They provide ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antibiotics, and more, the very medications the system previously tried stopping you from accessing. Simple, fast, and affordable. No insurance, no problem. They got straightforward pricing, online ordering. And it's super easy to get your everyday maintenance medications, too. They make it so easy. Fast shipping, no hassle, no gatekeepers. And everything is made in the United States. Manufactured, the inputs, everything from here, right here in the U.S. of A. So you have high standards for quality and safety. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and get 10% off with promo code Dana10. Be prepared. Protect yourself and your family today. allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Code Dana10 to save 10%.
Elon's not cutting Medicare, just the billions in waste of it. As the left freaks out claiming Elon Musk is going to cut Medicare, remember during Obamacare when health insurers got double paid by Medicaid for hundreds of thousands of patients and our government didn't check?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
If you think all car washes are made equally, you're in for a surprise when you experience the Caliber car wash difference. Free detailing stations, air guns, ultra UV protection, and the best washes on the market? Welcome to Caliber Car Wash. Make up for years of subpar washes. Caliber Car Wash memberships offer unlimited washes every month, and with membership tiers, there are options for every budget and wash preference. Are you ready to finally have the clean you've always wanted? Head to CaliberCarWash.com to find a location near you. It's time to experience the next level of car service with a limitless membership.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Need knife control in D.C. D.C. mass stabbing suspect was arrested after attacking six people, including innocent bystanders, at random in a substance-fueled frenzy. Try that in a concealed carry town. The D.C. police, they responded to the scene. It was 2 miles from the Capitol. It was like 3:20 p.m. yesterday after we got off air. They found him, the male suspect, on the ground suffering from stab wounds. But he had hurt a number of people. They said he was in a, quote, alternate mental state from an unknown substance. And that's how it began. Also, rising odds. I am really upset over this. And I feel betrayed. Smog. The asteroid that we thought might, you know, kind of ping the Earth is actually threatens to hit the moon instead. I mean, you know, that's going to just mess stuff up for everybody, but it's not going to be the end of humanity, sadly. I'm saying it's a huge asteroid. Now it has a 4% chance of smashing into the moon. So there is a chance, though. They thought it's the size of it is capable of leveling a city, according to data from the James Webb Space Telescope. It has a 3.1% chance of hitting our home planet. Apparently the highest chance, more than any other asteroid that they've measured previously. And it required the Earth's planetary defense community to leap into action. Further observations quickly ruled out the asteroid called 2024 YR4, or Giant Disappointment, will strike Earth on December 22nd, 2032. Wow, we gotta wait that long. Maybe it can change its trajectory. Could we send Bruce Willis up there and have Aerosmith play and he can like jackhammer the asteroid into a new trajectory? I mean, I'm sure it's possible. I know engineering, guys, because I can eyeball a wall and hang a picture. I have a story about that. It was like perfectly in the center. I swear to you. My husband was like, that's an exception, not a rule. Stop it. Amazon has a bid to buy TikTok per New York Times. Does that mean we got to use TikTok if somebody buys it? You telling me I got to create an account on TikTok? I will annoy the hell out of everybody on purpose. I will create the most horrible content. So, yeah, they said that they put in a last minute offer to buy TikTok. We're playing wait and see if they take up the offer. Well, San Francisco's rethinking its free handouts of drugs and drug paraphernalia. Wow, I wonder why. Wonder why that's happening. San Francisco's now scratching their heads thinking, you know what? Maybe it wasn't a great idea to hand out free drugs and drug paraphernalia to drug addicts. Maybe it wasn't a good idea. It's like, you know, giving kids to a kid toucher. Why would you do this?
When was it ever a good idea, though? It's when I'm...
Oh, they thought it was at some point.
They literally had
billboards around the city where it was like, do it with friends, people partying and doing drugs. Like, what? What in the world? To call San Francisco liberal is an insult to classical liberalism. I'm not going to do Tocqueville that way. They are morons. It's a moron city. And so, yeah, they said that they were giving people clean foil pipes and plastic straws so they could smoke their fentanyl and methamphetamines. Oh my gosh, you guys are so nice. You know what's going to make someone stop doing drugs and living on the streets and being a taxpaying responsible citizen? Giving them more foil to smoke their crack in. Do you use foil for crack? I don't even know. It's like a barefoot Contessa out there. What the hell? Right? Here's my ingredients. Here's what you're going to need for your fentanyl. You're going to need your foil. I don't even know what else you need. Anyway, they spent, by the way, hundreds of thousands of dollars annually on these supplies. And speaking of California, two cities in SoCal now have the highest sales tax in the country after the law went into effect, in addition to the high income tax and everything else. Great job, guys. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store as we kick off the rest of the first hour. I've seen the amazing changes Relief Factor has made for so many people, and I've seen it firsthand through my husband Chris's pain relief from using Relief Factor. Right now, it's easy to give their product a try because Relief Factor makes it pain-free with their 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Get rid of pain and start living better. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, it works by supporting your body's response to inflammation. It doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. It's safe to take daily. And in fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective. Whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, Relief Factor can help. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Give Relief Factor a try. With their pain-free trial, you can get a 3-week quick start for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF. Get rid of pain and start living better. Give Relief Factor a try. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or visit ReliefFactor.com.
If you think all car washes are made equally, you're in for a surprise when you experience the Caliber car wash difference. Free detailing stations, air guns, ultra UV protection, and the best washes on the market? Welcome to Caliber Car Wash. Make up for years of subpar washes. Caliber Car Wash memberships offer unlimited washes every month, and with membership tiers, there are options for every budget and wash preference. Are you ready to finally have the clean you've always wanted? Head to CaliberCarWash.com to find a location near you. It's time to experience the next level of car service with a limitless membership.
Democrats now insist they have a huge momentum shift after those special elections turned out pretty much like we thought they would. President Trump has the audacity to claim he should be able to decide who works for him. And Trump makes the media look like Wile E. Coyote again over comments about a third term. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day and hopefully a lot of laughs, too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
I haven't seen you in a while. $5 million. For $5 million, this could be yours. That was the first of the cards. And then, you know what that card is?
Gold card.
It's the gold card.
It's the gold card.
Trump card, gold card.
The memes of this have been hysterical.
Me.
I'm the second.
I don't know.
Do you actually get that card if you buy $5 million and you get that? Do you get that card with his face on it?
Yep.
The memes, first time, welcome back. Dana Lash with you, bottom of this first hour on Friday. It's Friday, come on. That's hysterical, though. And I don't know if you've seen the memes. There are so many, and it is an absolute riot. But I like he held it on and was like, here it is. And as you can imagine, Reddit went to work with memifying the card. But that's the card that you get. And you get a gold card if you spend $5 million. I do like how they're looking for ways to get money out of people other than the taxpayer. I'm going to tell you, if Trump comes around and is like, okay, I did the tariff thing, now we're getting rid of income taxes, I will physically fight everybody who hated the tariffs then. I literally will. Because that is one of my top goals, is getting rid of the income tax and abolishing the IRS. And if that happens, I don't care. I'll fight everybody. I don't care. Done. That's it. It's done. The tariffs were genius then. But I want to wait and see. You know what I'm saying? People need a break. We need to be unburdened. Oh my gosh. We've got to be unburdened. Okay, so a couple of things to get into. We were talking about the proxy voting, and I'm going to come back to that. But why is it? Now, you guys know I love me some sports ball, right? Love the sports ball. Actually, the only sport that I care about is baseball, and I keep up with the Cardinals. If I can't watch, you know, every game, I'll keep up with how they're doing in the season. And I used to love watching basketball, and can't play it to save my life, even though I tried every varsity, every other thing, but not basketball. It killed my soul. It was the one thing I couldn't get varsity, and I was so livid. But anyway, so, you know, I don't really pay much attention to basketball. So this was out of my purview. But then Steve made mention of it. And I'm trying to figure out who the babysitters are that are fining people for just a non-disruptive celebratory gesture that is not vulgar on the court. And I'm talking about this $75,000 fine for Ja Morant, who... they said he did a gun celebration before hitting the Grizzlies game winner at the buzzer. And it was 14-9. Morant put his hands up to simulate. I have to say, his are actually pretty. Because is he like simulating holding a rifle? Even though he makes a handgun with one. That one angle looks like he's, yeah. And like NBA one of the NBA Central accounts tweeted, oh, here is Morant with a gun gesture again. Like it's bad. Would you people stop these giant pansies? And Morant said after the win, he goes, I feel like I've been the villain for the last 2 years, not even just to this crowd. He was well aware that the gestures have made headlines. The NBA. The NBA apparently was looking into it. What do you got to look into? This is how you make it. What do you got to look into, you geniuses? And then you have these people who are like, this is Morant doing the exact same celebration on four different games over the last month. Why is he $75,000? What is the objection to it? Is it because it's a gun? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see how, and I could understand for, you know, if he did something that was like disruptive, right? Like, okay, if he did something that was disruptive and interrupted play or was a distraction or if he was vulgar, right? I could get that. You would persuade me, but I don't think this falls into that category. Now, Steve was the one who saw it, and I'm going to ask you, Steve. So is it just because he's making the gun gesture? That's it?
Yeah, I mean, his perspective is that I told you off break that he got caught on an Instagram Live holding a firearm in a car like when he was like 20 years old. And ever since then, the NBA has had him under a microscope. So every time he does that fake gesture, they've been itching to find him, and now they're going to finally do it.
$75,000. That is insane. You know what? He ought to get a tattoo of a gun on his hand and just hold his hand up. That's what he ought to do. I would do that. Or like just get a rifle tattooed on the side of your finger and just hold your finger out. Just, is that mean? I just can't believe that that's something that's a finable offense. That's a finable offense. I'd still do it. He's probably has like more money than the average bear, I would say. So he can probably afford it, but it's just stupid. It's like getting mad at the kid in school that ate his Pop-Tart in the shape of a gun, right? Yeah. Asinine. People have this. What do they think? Did they think his hand's going to turn into a gun? Like anime? It's going to just like morph into a gun? I don't know. Gun's life. He's going to turn into that, except his head. It's a hand. What in the world? But he said he was well aware that these gestures have made headlines because there are pansies out in the world. And he's not, I mean, I don't under, it's just so goofy. $75,000. Now, I pointed this out. I'm going to pull this up for a moment. So here's the other big story. And this happened in Frisco, Texas. Frisco, Texas. Frisco, Texas is, you know, it's a suburb of Dallas. The DFW, they call it the DFW Metroplex. You have Dallas and Fort Worth, and it's, the cities are so huge and they've expanded so much that they just kind of, you know, morphed together. And now it's, you know, it's just called, you know, DFW. But this is a suburb of Dallas in Frisco. Nice area, right? Nice, you know, family area. And there was a track meet with several Texas high schools on Wednesday of this week. And it got violent. It got violent in the stands, not even like in the locker room. Somebody decided to do this right out in the public. One student stabbed another after an altercation over a seat in the stands. Austin Metcalf, a standout football star, was attending, sitting in the stands. The fight broke out after a student from another school, 17-year-old Carmelo Anthony, was told he was sitting in the wrong place. He brandished a knife and stabbed Metcalf in the chest. Metcalf's twin brother, Hunter, was also there and tried to save his brother. He stated, "I tried to whip around as fast as I could. I looked at my brother, and I'm not going to talk about the rest. I tried to help him." And I can't imagine watching your identical twin be murdered in front of you. They rushed Metcalf to the hospital. He did not make it. His dad said, "I could see all the blood. I saw where the wound was, and I was very concerned. I found his brother. We rushed to the hospital, and we prayed." He goes, "It's God's plan. I don't understand it, but they weren't able to save him. This is murder." It is murder. I have a very unpopular opinion that I'm about to unleash. A lot of people are making this a race issue because the student was black who stabbed Carmelo Anthony's black and Metcalf is white. And I don't know if it's a race issue or if it's a troubled young man issue or a boy issue. I don't know. But I mean, and this Metcalf has such a bright future ahead of him. I think that Carmelo Anthony should be eligible for the death penalty. I don't want people like that walking around on my streets. And I think that society rots because we have this insipid, remedial, immature version of restorative justice. And society continues to rot because the rot thrives on that indulgence. I think Carmelo Anthony should be put to death. I think anybody who does anything like this, race has nothing to do with it. If you are so savage that you can't go to a track meet without stabbing someone in the chest, you don't deserve to be on this mortal coil. And I think that if we had strong enough punishments and strong enough deterrence, then maybe people would think twice about throwing their lives away because they got mad over a bleacher seat. This is inexcusable. Absolutely inexcusable. And I know, and I've seen it, I know most of the debate has, you know, devolved around, oh, it's a racial issue. Where are people rioting in the streets over that? That isn't even, like, for me, that's not even the priority here. The priority here is that there is no deterrent and people think that they can do stuff like this with little to no repercussions. And there, a disagreement over a bleacher seat isn't worth losing your life over because you killed someone in response. I mean, that's, but I will say, yeah, there's not going to be no public outrage. There's not going to be any protests. There won't be any marches. There's not going to be anything to that effect. And the media is not really talking about it. I do agree with all of that. And the family, you know, to their credit, they're not wanting to make this political, but they are saying this is murder. And they're right. And I think that their tact is the right one to take. It is murder. If you're reacting like that before you hit age 21, you are going to act like that and continue behaving that way. And it's going to get worse. That is simple statistics. This is what insurance companies, when they render decisions about what they're the rates are going to be for new drivers. That's why young men get, you know, they have higher rates than others. Once you get into this, once you have this, you start this behavioral pattern, and when it's affirmed by a lack of consequence in the judicial system, you are stamping a forever criminal. You are just creating one. And maybe, I know some people think it's harsh. I'm all for the death penalty, and I have no problem. I think it's insipid to compare it to abortion. And I see people do that all the time. I'm like, wait a minute, you're comparing a grown young adult or a grown person who knows the consequence of their decision and chooses to behave in a violent and reckless manner anyway, fully aware of the consequences for it. You're comparing that person's choice of free will to that of an innocent baby at the mercy of the mother in which the baby resides. That is, that's drunk logic. That's bad. Let's not do that. That's like the logic equivalent of girl math. Let's not. But, and I don't think this is, and I know, like I said, I know people are making it a race issue, but I'm tired of weak consequences. Weak consequences breed reckless society. I think he should be eligible for the death penalty. To just do that, to stab someone in the chest, to have such a short fuse that you're going to kill somebody over a bleacher seat, you need to be off this mortal coil. The planet will not benefit with your existence. Get out. People can, this is how I look at it. You're going to have a nicer society when people realize that there's consequences for such barbaric behavior. With Goldco, Goldman Sachs research, they've raised their gold price forecast to $3,100 by the end of this year. And that's underpinned by higher than expected demand from central banks. So now is the time to buy, and it's easy and transparent to do so. I've partnered with Goldco to make buying metals simple and hassle-free, and they're a very strong supporter of this program. And they know metals inside and out. Secure your future with Goldco. Investing in metals, it's straightforward and reliable, and they've got over $3 billion in gold and silver secured for hardworking people all over the country. Top-rated company from the start. So act now and request their free 2025 gold and silver kit, and you can learn how to diversify and safeguard your savings today. Diversify your money with time-tested safe haven assets. It's physical gold and silver. Visit DanaLikesGold.com. Join everybody, thousands, who've called Goldco the number one rated gold company. And right now, get that free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit. And you could also qualify for up to 10% in bonus silver only at DanaLikesGold.com.
If you think all car washes are made equally, you're in for a surprise when you experience the Caliber car wash difference. Free detailing stations, air guns, ultra UV protection, and the best washes on the market? Welcome to Caliber Car Wash. Make up for years of subpar washes. Caliber Car Wash memberships offer unlimited washes every month, and with membership tiers, there are options for every budget and wash preference. Are you ready to finally have the clean you've always wanted? Head to CaliberCarWash.com to find a location near you. It's time to experience the next level of car service with a limitless membership.
If you like true crime, you'll love the Miracle Files podcast.
We share real stories with the suspense of true crime, but we'll leave you with a sense of light and hope.
Like the college wrestler who fought a grizzly, the woman who was dead for nearly an hour, or the child lost in a dark mine for days. These are the kind of stories that remind us miracles are real.
Subscribe to The Miracle Files wherever you get your podcasts and join us on this thrilling journey of faith and miracles.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to The Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And not in a partisan way, just normal. As a partner in a law firm, have you ever taken to social media to personally attack a judge who ruled against you? That's all my question is.
Senator, thanks for the question. I think that attacking judges personally and not their reasoning, let me just give you a quote. I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price.
I've asked
you. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with those awful decisions. That was something that Senator Schumer said, and I thought it was awful, and it unleashed a wave of violent threats against Supreme Court justices. I think that's problematic, that kind of language.
I have no doubt the language is a problem on their left or right. I was just asking you.
Yeah, who does that? That Amy Klobuchar got smacked with receipts when she asked about threatening SCOTUS justices. Oh my gosh. And that's, who is that? Jesse Panuccio. That's pretty amazing. Because those were all, who is that? Schumer's words? That was Schumer's words. Yep, yeah. Schumer. I mean, I don't even think he had time to quote Maxine Waters. No. Or who is it? The guy thought Guam was going to tip over. Yeah, and then Hakeem Jeffries. I'm just going through my AOC. I'm going through my head of all the lawmakers who ran their mouth about that. And then there was all the security concern. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those receipts. Love them receipts. Telling you. So the whole... We're going to cover some of the reaction and also Vietnam wanting to come to the table, by the way, as it pertains to tariffs or Liberation Day. We still calling it Liberation Day?
Yeah, why not?
Vietnam is proposing zero tariffs in a potential U.S. agreement. POTUS announced that he had a very productive call with the General Secretary of the Communist Party of Vietnam, because Vietnam's communist. By the way, my friends who go back to Vietnam... The travel, all the stuff they have to go through, born and raised in Vietnam, legal citizens now in the U.S., to go back to Vietnam to visit their families, it is insane everything that they have to go through. And then how the government like kind of views them suspiciously and wants to take advantage of them when they're there. The stories that I've heard just blows my mind. But he spoke with the General Secretary of the Communist Party in Vietnam, and that's when, Lam, I guess, General Secretary Lam, he expressed the country's interest in cutting tariffs to zero, contingent upon reaching an agreement with the United States. Now, this is because you have all the 10% kicking in on the 9th and the pointed higher tariffs kicking in on the 12th, correct? So there's like a couple of days there that countries have, you know, if they want to think it over, they can come to the table. And announcing it a couple, you know, this many days in advance also gives these countries an opportunity to kind of rectify some things. So that proposal, it notes Vietnam holds $123.5 billion trade surplus with the U.S. And they're the U.S.'s number one export market. So this is going to be very interesting. We're going to talk more about this here coming up. We got a second hour on the way. Stay with us. You know what? I got my PR-57. It's the newest firearm from Kel-Tec. They came out with this, like, it's not even been a year. And this is a great firearm that you've got to have. You have to have it, and the MSRP, being only $399, says that it's okay. You know what? Mother's Day is coming up. So is Father's Day. I don't care. The whole month of June is Father's Day. The whole month of May is Mother's Day. Everybody needs a Kel-Tec PR-57 rotary barrel pistol chambered in 5.7. It's 40% lighter than the next lightest 5.7. Two ways that they did this. Innovative rotary barrel makes it the lightest 5.7 on the market, and it uses stripper clips instead of magazines. It has a top-loading design, so it loads in the top. Makes for a slimmer carry profile, 20+1 capacity, super low recoil as well. Quickest and easiest field strip imaginable. And like I said, that MSRP is only $399, super affordable for you as well. It's the first of its kind, Kel-Tec PR-57 rotary barrel pistol chambered in 5.7. Visit KelTecWeapons.com to learn more. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec, KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
If you think all car washes are made equally, you're in for a surprise when you experience the Caliber car wash difference. Free detailing stations, air guns, ultra UV protection, and the best washes on the market? Welcome to Caliber Car Wash. Make up for years of subpar washes. Caliber Car Wash memberships offer unlimited washes every month, and with membership tiers, there are options for every budget and wash preference. Are you ready to finally have the clean you've always wanted? Head to CaliberCarWash.com to find a location near you. It's time to experience the next level of car service with a limitless membership.
It's like Trump is stuck in the 80s. His music, his clothing, his thinking. He has been on this tariff thing forever. And every economist, conservative or liberal, will tell you they just simply don't work. We use them strategically.
That's so stupid.
But he doesn't fundamentally understand how trade works. It goes back to what I continue to say. I think the biggest myth perpetuated on this country is that Donald Trump understands anything about business. He's bankrupt every single one he's been into, and now he's bankrupting this country. So I appreciate you talking about this. This is a tax on working people that we've not seen in any of our lifetimes, and it is going to have dramatic effect.
So this is Tim Walz, who he should try to run for vice president again. Welcome back, Dana Lash, with you, top of the second hour. First off, this lunchbox blew through $20 billion in a state surplus as fast as Hunter Biden blew through a mound of cocaine in the White House. So let's not. He blew through $20 billion budget surplus. And he promised the people who lived in his state tax refunds that are big refund checks that never actually manifest. And then he raised taxes by over $9 billion. Why is he so upset? He's about damn near bankrupted his state. When you blow through a surplus and you're running deficits, guess what? So he's the last person who should be talking about any of this, Commie Tim. But secondly, the bigger point here is how long, and this is an argument that will immediately make me come to blows. How long have you been told by the left that paying taxes is patriotic? Now, keep in mind, none of these people who say this will ever actually go above and beyond the bare minimum and write a check to the Department of Treasury themselves, which they are free to do. Mm-hmm. They won't do that. But they want you to pay more. But they're not going to voluntarily pay more because they're patriotic, but just, you know, there's an extent to their patriotism. But that's been a mantra from the left for as long as I can remember, right? Paying your taxes. Taxes are patriotic. Most patriotic thing you can do. The higher the tax, the more patriotic you are. They've said that forever as a way to like mentally condition you, to gaslight you into thinking that you, if you give up more of your money to a wasteful government, then that means you're a better American than the person who wants accountability. It's so stupid. But notice how that's all turned on its head now. So it's not an issue of patriotism. Now they don't view it that way anymore because, you know, it's no longer a moral obligation. It's not a moral obligation anymore. Now it is a burden on the working class. What? It's an unfair burden. These taxes, higher taxes that were super patriotic just like a second ago. Now, it's an unfair burden on the working class. Imagine that. How did that change? Oh, well, it didn't. It's just the White House did. So tariffs, when Biden proposed tariffs, people celebrated. Mm-hmm. That was back a year ago. About a year ago. They celebrated. And it wasn't viewed as a burden on the working class. Wasn't viewed as that. The press celebrated it when Biden did it. And he actually increased some of Trump's previous tariffs from his first administration. He increased them under Biden. The tariff rate went up to 100% on EVs, 50% on solar cells, 25% on EV batteries, critical minerals, steels, aluminum, face masks, and ship-to-shore cranes. And that was back in 2024. Big difference. So then it was not a burden. It was smart planning from Biden. But now it's all different. That's why I think that's why a lot of people, they don't take the left seriously with these criticisms because there's such a pattern of inconsistency, which is the only consistent thing about them. You know that they don't believe this. You know they don't believe it, so it doesn't stick. And we don't take it seriously. I see Tim Walz talking and I'm just like, you're an absolute moron with this. It was a burden and now it went from being a boon to a burden in one administration. And they all loved when Biden actually increased Trump's tariffs back in the day. We're talking about this one thing that everybody's been freaking out about, the $1.5 trillion in value erased from the stock market and the setbacks. And that's, I get it. It's a scary thing. But like I said, if this is something that can be, and Kane's like, oh, it's going to be rectified. And I mean, it could very well be. I think the question is the speed at which it would be rectified and making that back. But also, don't you agree, and this is where Congress needs to step in, don't you agree that it would be really smart for Congress to take this opportunity before midterms when they might lose seats and make permanent some tax cuts and some of this other stuff so that we can not be doubly taxed? If they don't do this, do you realize that they're going to lose everything? Trump's legacy is going to go down in flames and they're going to lose everything because it will be viewed, and they won't be incorrect, as a double tax. So then you have to ask yourself this. I need to borrow some of Kane's tinfoil. I'm not saying that this is happening, but let me speculate. If I were a member of the left and I wanted to throw a wrench into what they're doing in Congress, you know, first off, you could run as a Republican and get into Congress and throw a wrench that way. But you could also try to sabotage anything that Congress is doing by holding up operations for stupid things like dumb rule changes that are actually unconstitutional. Just saying. When your moves are benefiting the left to an obscene degree and penalizing your own side, that's not 4D chess, that's stupidity. And so some of these members of Congress need to stop the stupidity. Because this stuff has to be made permanent. Otherwise, they will ruin his legacy. Not only that, we will never get this close to making changes ever again. The left and the media will go out and say, oh, well, under this administration, under this Republican Congress, everybody's been double taxed. And without tax cuts, guess what? It's not a lie. You can say all day long it's a strategy and we're going to get to it. But unless it's done pretty damn fast, guys, this is why I have no patience with Congress right now. I'm not friends with any of those people I'm criticizing. We're not friends. They're employees. And the president was talking about that proxy voting. Did you see Nancy Pelosi in a, she has her walker out there? Remember all the proxy voting fights that we had during COVID? Do you feel comfortable? Think about it. A massive, say that there's a massive package, whether it's tax hikes, whether it's, you know, whatever, gun control, whatever, healthcare, something like that. Do you feel comfortable and confident in a vote placed by a lawmaker who decided that they are special and they wanted to work from home, something you wouldn't be allowed to do with something that of such great importance, but they're able to do, or they would be able to do? It's weird. There's a reason why everybody gathers in DC. The technological conveniences are irrelevant. In-person collaboration is supremely important and is a feature of this republic. Nancy Pelosi and her walker. This is what Juan's showing you. Who do you think proxy voting is for? Do you think of all the women that have been in Congress, and there have been new moms in Congress, and only now have they decided that they're super special and they need accommodations beyond what mothers in the private sector receive, even though they have taxpayer-funded childcare and a $12 million state-of-the-art facility there for their use, but I digress. Women have been able to find ways to cast a vote, and it hasn't been an issue before. We got some special snowflakes this time. But who do you think that proxy voting is for? Do you think it's for young mothers? But keep in mind, no other Republican woman came out in support of that. And there are mothers there. And I talked to a handful of them back channel. They don't support it because they're smart. They're smart ladies. No, the proxy voting is for people like Nancy Pelosi, like the image that Juan just showed you. She can stay home and vote forever. Because it began with, oh, it's new moms. Then Democrats and Ana Paulina Luna changed it to parents. Oh, dad's 12 weeks, I guess, too. And then it's going to get changed even more, you know. They're not going to stop at one thing. They're going to demand it if they don't feel like coming in, or if they, you know, just, you know, they got a cold or something. They want to be able to vote from home. And it's going to allow people like Nancy Pelosi to remain in power for forever and forever vote from home. That's the real game plan here. And it's unfortunate that we have some lawmakers that spend more time flexing on social media than paying attention to the strategies of their ideological opponents in Congress. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is also one of the reasons that you need to be in person at this collaborative effort. When lawmakers run for office, it's, as I said the other day, it's not a job that someone gets to pay the bills, right? You don't run for Congress to pay the bills. And when someone desirously seeks out elected office, you are consenting to put the voters first. This argument that, well, opposing this as being against working moms is an unintelligent, illogical, illiberal, progressive talking point, because it has nothing to do with that. That's a deflection that someone is using in their excuse for accommodation to allow them to meet less of a standard on for the voters. That's not what we agreed to. Family planning isn't difficult. I mean, are we all turning into progressive women now and we're going to start using Planned Parenthood arguments? It's not difficult for family planning. Millions and millions of women have done it. I didn't seek out a greater career in broadcasting until my family was squared away. Where are your priorities? America first, people say, but apparently not everyone actually wants to practice it. Family first, they say, but apparently not everyone wants to practice it. Family first is prioritizing your family and not seeking elected office because it would compromise your stated mission to prioritize your family. Voters are not obliged to make up for your shortfalls in planning. When you seek elected office and ascend to elected office, the voters have become your priority. And if that's not something you're willing to do, then I suggest that women then plan their families and then seek elected office after their families are squared away, if that's something that they cannot do simultaneously. But demanding unconstitutional accommodations, and yes, unconstitutional according to Article 1, Section 5 of the Constitution, yes, is not America first. It's not family first. It's not conservative. It's not anything in keeping with our founders. And furthermore, it's straight up progressive. Why are we entertaining this when we have other things to handle and the clock is ticking? Why are we getting hung up on one woman's personal accommodation request that violates the Constitution instead of making tax cuts permanent for the voters? Because midterms are around the corner. Is America expected to wait because someone didn't properly plan their family? This sounds like all these damn third and fourth wave feminists. Accommodate me no matter what my choices are. Treat me better than the treatment we give to mothers in the private sector. What? You know what? There's this modern invention called a babysitter. It's crazy, right? And Congress makes it easy because they got a damn state-of-the-art $12 million facility that you can take advantage of. Asinine. So no, POTUS, sorry, but is wrong to back that. And these congressional members that are violating the Constitution, thinking that that with this constitutionally violating proposal, they're wrong to propose it. We have headlines coming up as we move. Our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there. Patriot Mobile wants to save you money, and they don't want to make your money work against you. See, if you have not switched, you're funding all the stuff that you vote against every single time you go to the ballot box. With Patriot Mobile, you get exceptional nationwide coverage, access to all three major U.S. networks. You also can add two numbers on two networks on one phone. Now, the big carriers can't do this, but Patriot Mobile can. They also have flexible, unlimited data plans designed to fit your lifestyle. All kinds of stuff. Mobile hotspots, high-speed data, international roaming, device protection, internet backup, the whole nine yards. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. It is up to you. Seamless switching with their U.S.-based customer support team. You can get activated in minutes, and you're supporting what you believe in. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service using promo code Dana. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT, promo code Dana.
If you think all car washes are made equally, you're in for a surprise when you experience the Caliber car wash difference. Free detailing stations, air guns, ultra UV protection, and the best washes on the market? Welcome to Caliber Car Wash. Make up for years of subpar washes. Caliber Car Wash memberships offer unlimited washes every month, and with membership tiers, there are options for every budget and wash preference. Are you ready to finally have the clean you've always wanted? Head to CaliberCarWash.com to find a location near you. It's time to experience the next level of car service with a limitless membership.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I call bull redacted on this. Who did this? Oh, it's study finds. All they did is like studies and stuff. They said San Francisco tops the list of America's healthiest cities. I read that it was like Maui. Honolulu. Wait, is what
so
I had read.
I might have believed that needles and feces lead to better health.
Needles and feces. Yeah, that's apparently, I'm just saying. They said that location matters to health. What? Like, what means, they said that they have the second lowest share of obese adults, probably because everybody's poor and they can't afford food. Only 18% of the population meet obesity. Yeah, that's what happens when you melt it all away with needles and feces. Just saying. I think this is so, that's so dumb. So apparently there's a, what is this? Is there another stupid protest this weekend? Jeez. Oh, is it? Tons of people are going to come out for that. If I see anybody, I'm going to go to my town square just so I can like instigate something if I see protesters. It's the hands off. It's the largest single day protest. And see, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be a bunch of whiny crybabies that are going to be crying about Marxism. That's what's happening. Coming up, Representative Brian Harrison, state of Texas, joins us. Gold prices have surged over 40% since January 2024, consistently reaching new highs. According to Goldman Sachs research, the upward trend is expected to persist due to strong demand from central banks. It's stuff like this that's made me take action and why I've bought precious metals like gold and silver. I've partnered with a great company that makes it super easy to buy easy, transparent, and simple. And that company is Gold Co. They're a huge supporter of this show, and they're the best at what they do. And right now, you can get a free 2025 Gold and Silver Kit jam-packed with critical information about buying precious metals. It was a huge help, not just for me, but to all of you if you do this. And for my audience, you could also qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. It's a really great deal, so don't miss out. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Harrison, for what purpose? Why do you refuse to answer these points of parliamentary inquiry that are proper?
Mr. Harrison, that has been answered.
Final point.
Mr. Harrison, for what purpose?
You know the House rules stipulate what I just said. Off the mic, or is your staffer cutting off the microphone,
Harrison,
Mr. Speaker?
For what purpose?
My constituents pay for this microphone.
Mr. Harrison,
who's cutting it off?
Purpose?
You are this.
Mr. Harrison, for what purpose?
Seriously.
I would invite every member who opposes corruption to sign the motion to vacate you.
Wow. That was so catty. Burrow standing there. For what purpose? For what purpose? Welcome back to the program. So, one of the things that we've been focusing on is these really weak Republicans in the states that are the shining city on the hill, right? Texas, Florida, because there is a major problem, and we highlighted it with these last special elections, whether it was the Florida 6th Congressional or whether it was the Supreme Court, state Supreme Court election in Wisconsin. Republicans don't turn out for municipal elections, for midterm elections, for state elections as much as they should. And then they question, why is it that we have a Republican majority and they're not legislating like a Republican majority? It's because, and I can say this, I know elected officials are a little bit more tied in terms of, you know, how they can talk about voters, because you won't let them, because you vote for weak Republicans and you just think that an R after their name is enough. And it is not. It is not the be all end all solution. It is not the panacea of all the problems. Having an R by your name isn't enough. How conservative are you? In Texas, we are fighting with rhinos who want to fund, I say rhinos, they're trans Republicans. They're Democrats cosplaying as Republicans. They are lying about funding DEI. They're lying about property tax. They're lying about gun control. All of the things that you go out and consistently vote against, they're trying to incorporate and pay for it with a budget. And then when they speak out, like Representative Brian Harrison does, look what happened. They cut his mic. And by cutting his mic, you're not just cutting his mic, you're cutting the mic of Texas voters. You're silencing the voters for whom he speaks. Well, he just gets louder. And so he's joining us now via Zoom or Skype, one of them through technology. Representative Brian Harrison from the beautiful 10th District. It's good to see you. Thank you so much for joining us. So you noticed that your mic was just cut off just like that. He didn't seem very open to hearing your ideas, I have to say.
No, I actually had to check with your audio engineer right before I came on to make sure he wasn't planning to do the same thing that the Speaker of the House did to me today talking with you. He assured me he would not do anything as ridiculous.
Right.
No, it is outrageous. And actually, I think you made one of the biggest points that often is missed in this. It's not that the Speaker of the House is cutting off Brian Harrison's microphone. When he does that, or his hack leftist staffer, I never know which one of them is pushing the buttons, but when they cut my microphone off, and by the way, this is not the first time. Dustin Burroughs, our liberal speaker, has allowed Democrat committee chairman, because yes, there are Democrats who chair committees, powerful committees in the Republican-dominated Texas House. A Democrat chairman have cut off my microphones this session. I mean, if you're a radical Democrat in the Texas House, you can silence Republicans. So when he shuts off my microphone, though, it's not Brian Harrison's mic he's shutting off. It's the 200,000 Texans that rely on me to be their voice in the floor of the people's house,
right,
in the capital of the state of Texas. And that's completely outrageous. Dustin Burroughs is an illegitimate speaker who only got the speakership because he cut a deal with 50 Democrats to take over the chamber. And to your point about red states have this problem, to the shock of many, people have a hard time believing that Democrats control at least half the legislative branch in the state of Texas. Yeah. Because to your point, voters generally, and they're right, they think they did their job. They went to the ballot box, they pushed the button for the Republican, and they're right. Like, okay, job well done. Republicans control every lever of power in Texas. But the problem is, unfortunately, folks have got to do a little bit more now and follow up and hold their feet to the fire. It's not good enough just to vote for someone who says they're a conservative. You've got to check out what they're doing, because even after I fought the swamp for years with President Trump, I've never seen anything as swampy as I have in the state of Austin or in the city of Austin, where elected Republicans promise to fight the Democrats. But then as soon as their voters aren't looking, they collude with them to destroy liberty for the next generation of Texans. And we've got to stand up and fight this.
I completely agree with you. And I think it's very well said. We're talking to Representative Brian Harrison out of the 10th District in Texas, fighting against I really do think people need to pay attention to this. I look at some of these records of these lawmakers in Austin. These are not Republicans, but they're just running as Republicans, probably because they can't get elected as Democrats, I'm assuming.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, in the state, in most parts of the state of Texas, and this is a great thing, it's very hard to get elected as a Democrat. That's awesome. What's not so awesome, however, is that a bunch of people who would be Democrats realize they have to run as a Republican to get elected. And things are so bad in the state of Texas right now. I mean, look, I am a native Texan. I love this state. I've got four kids under 10. I want them to inherit a free and a prosperous Texas and to enjoy the blessings of liberty that not just the founders of our nation bled and many paid the ultimate price for, but same for the generations mm-hmm. that came before us in the state of Texas. But the problem is, even though the state of Texas has a reputation for leading in freedom and leading in liberty and small government, low taxes and low regulations, Dana, I'm going to be honest with you, Texans need to know this. Yeah. For far too many years, the state of Texas has been simply coasting on that reputation while we have been funding a radical leftist, big government, socialistic, Marxist agenda and forcing 30 million Texans to pay for it. And we can never legitimize the acquisition of power to be the Speaker of the Texas House by cutting a deal with a Marxist leftist that wanted to deprive my children of liberty. That's why I made the motion to vacate him. And Texans need to know the truth of what's being done with their tax money. They're funding all kinds of things. You know, Trump won Texas by 14 points. But the state of Texas, the budgets that are about to pass, they fund DEI, they fund liberal gender ideology, they grow government, they increase spending, they fund millions, actually $1.5 billion over the next few years to liberal Hollywood.
Yeah.
This is not what Texans voted for, but it's what their government is about to give them, and Texans deserve better than that.
Exactly. Well said. Well said. And Florida should not beat us on getting rid of property taxes either. I'm going to get real mad. I'm going to get real mad if Texas is beaten by Florida in this.
Well, you know what? I'm sick and tired of hearing the comparisons to Florida. And you know why? I'm going to say what most elected officials in Austin won't say. You know why those comparisons really annoy me? Because in many ways, they're true. Mm-hmm. Texas should be leading. We should be the leading example of small government and the prosperity that comes from prioritizing individual liberty and freedom and putting taxpayers first. We should be we need to rekindle the flame of freedom that once shone bright, not just for the Texas to be an example for the country. I want Texas to be the leading shining light of freedom and liberty for the entire globe. But we have got to reverse course. Let me tell you something. Every elected official in Austin, you have to make a choice. You can either be comfortable in the swamp or you can fight for the freedom and liberty of the next generation, because the Texas House is corrupt. And there's only two choices right now. You, if you're an elected Republican in Austin, you are either visibly fighting the corrupt swamp, or I hate to say it, you are the swamp.
Yeah.
You've got to make a choice. And Texas voters, I know what Texas voters want. They want people to fight against
exactly.
The
and for them to drag their feet on this, I mean, I've seen some of the gun control stuff that's popped up. And I know there have been a lot of really good 2A activists that have been down in Austin on behalf of that. But, you know, also with the property taxes, I want to go back to this vacate request. Now, I was familiarizing myself with because every state has a different process. He was trying to deny you recognition so that it could not come to fruition, as I understand it.
Which is a violation of the House rules. It's just further lawlessness. And I'll just take maybe 30 seconds and explain how we got here. On the first day of session, even though Texas voters gave Republicans a 26-seat majority in the Texas House so that we should control it with Republicans, he cut a deal with 50 Democrats and 30 fake liberal sellout
rhinos. Put Democrats on committee chairs.
Made them chairman, gave them more power in the House rules package than Democrats have ever had since Republicans took over 20 years ago. So that was day one, day two. Then we have had unconstitutional long weekends. The Constitution does not let us go on 3-, 4-, 5-day weekends without voting on it and getting permission from the Senate. He has done that countless times, black and white, violating the Constitution that we took an oath to defend. Right. Then last weekend, our very first Friday that we were even asked to show up to the floor after 11 weeks, and one of the first days we had a calendar on the floor, He stood up in front of the body and declared a quorum is present. The Constitution requires 100 members minimum to be there out of 150. I said, no, I demand you do a verified roll call. And when we did that, I caught him in his unconstitutional lie. There were only 63 out of 150 members that bothered to show up, and he tried to violate the Constitution to force votes, even though a constitutional quorum was not present. And then by the time we finally get a bill on the floor, the very first bill after 11 weeks, the very first day we have a bill on the floor, a House bill, the very first bill he puts on the floor, his number one bill, the lead author, was a radical leftist Democrat. And that's after he had the House Appropriations Committee that I serve on have at least 8 separate hearings or meetings which were not broadcast to the public. They were literally held in the corner of a museum to avoid cameras and microphones in black and white violation of the House rules. So he let the Democrat chairman write and fund Democrat priorities, write the House budget in secret in violation of the House rules. So he has been lawless. He has violated the Constitution or attempted to on numerous occasions. And I have had it. Texans are sick of what's happening. They're sick of the betrayal of the things that they voted for, the principles they care about, the principles that made our state and our country great, being sold downriver because corrupt Republicans in Austin would rather empower Democrats so they can feel loved and feel popular in the swamp of the state of Austin and in the city of Austin. That's why I stood up and made a motion that it hasn't been made in decades. Yeah. But I said, I make the motion to vacate the chair, and then, which is a privileged motion. He is required to recognize me. But as is tradition for this clown, more lawlessness, cut the microphone off. And then he literally pretended that to make a motion that he's required to recognize me to make, to vacate the chair, that I have to pass a bill in order to, I have to file it like a resolution or a bill would be filed. It's lawless. His unconstitutional liberal corruption must be stopped. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to stop him.
And you also, I know that when it comes to vacating the speaker chair, I know you have to get 76 signature. You, I mean, obviously, from what I'm hearing from lawmakers, when they talk privately, it sounds like you've got tons of support. How is that going to translate to, you know, making it public and signing your name and actually vacating?
Let me tell you I would ask this for any conservative lawmaker. Why wouldn't you stand up and be visibly seen fighting against the corruption? Why would we? Here's the thing we cannot do. So here's my, you know, when people are silent, as far as I'm concerned at this point, silence is complicity.
Yes.
Because we can never legitimize, we can never sanction, we can never say it's okay to take control of the Texas House as Speaker if you have to cut a deal with 50 Democrats, which is way more than the 30-something Republicans you got to attain power, because then we become no better than the Democrats, Dana. Yes. The Democrats are the ends justify the means. They're never stopped. There is no law. There's no constitutional prohibition that stops them from pursuing their big government socialist objectives. We become no better than them if we allow Dustin Burroughs to stay unchallenged. So I continue to invite every one of my Republican colleagues to join me in this. Let me tell you, I've got a petition going because I want the people of Texas to know they can make their voice heard. And in just a day or two, I put a petition online, Dana. I think I'm probably breaking this right now. I've had over 7,000.
So you should be able to get the required signatures to make this possible and vacate
Speaker.
This
should be easy. Why
should be easy.
They?
You should, like anyone who hesitates, you should let us know who they are.
Well, right now, I will say that I actually should give credit to my friend. The only member so far to sign on to the motion to vacate is my good friend, Representative.
No, not the ones who signed on. Who are the ones that are giving you grief behind the scenes? I mean, I know it's all negotiation, but, you know, I mean, we want to know
David Lowe has had the courage to sign on to this. But I will tell you, I mean, the shocking and disappointing reality is the vast majority of members on the House are upset that I did this.
Really? Really?
They are. That's the reality. Yep.
What, because they're afraid that they're going to lose out, you know, what, fundraising money, or they're going to lose out choice appointments to different committees. Is that they're looking at their bottom line and not voters?
I don't want to speak for them. You'd have to ask them. Many of them I consider friends and people whose hearts are.
I don't consider them friends. If they're subverting the will of the voter, they're not my friend.
Let me tell you what I think is plain as day. There is no reason to not do everything we can remove the corrupt liberal rhino speaker who only got the speakership because he cut a deal with Democrats to empower them and to deprive liberty for my children and your children.
They should make you speaker.
Well,
You sound like you don't want that job, but that's kind of the person that you would want to have the job is the person who doesn't
want it. Let me tell you, I don't know about, forget me for a second. Let me tell you what Texans, what I know should happen. The voters of the state of Texas voted for Republican leadership.
Yeah.
The voters of the state of Texas deserve bold Republican leadership. And while I'm thrilled to see President Trump delivering bold conservative victories in Washington, D.C., on one hand, I love it. On the other hand, I can't help but realize how embarrassing that in the all red state of Texas, the question is, how liberal are we going to be?
Because it's assumed.
Instead of how bold are we going
to
be?
That's a great point. We'd love to have you back. And let us know, you know, if you want to slide a note under the door, some names on it. I don't know how we got those names, Kane. I don't know. But if you want to make it happen that way, you know, we'd be glad to reach out to some of these lawmakers. And
I think every Republican should join the motion to vacate. You know why?
They
Not because I want them to do it, but because I know their voters want them to do it.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Representative Brian Harrison, God bless you. We appreciate everything that you're doing with us. And we're gonna keep watching. We're going to, you know, and let us know how we can help. And we're going to see who signs on to this.
No, thank you for shining the light and bringing transparency to the swamp. Always great to be with you, Dana. God bless you.
Good
and God
to talk
bless
with
the
you.
State
have a
Texas.
Good weekend, my friend. Thank you. We have more to come, folks, as we finish up the second hour. We're going into our third, and we're going to be talking tariffs with our friend Carol Roth as well. You don't want to miss our partners. Of course, all this brought to you. Byrna-Gun, BYRNA, is the non-firearm firearm, and it's a great way to help diversify your defense array, your weapons array. And it's it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. And there's no waiting period. There's no gun freeze. It doesn't care about gun free zone signs. It doesn't care about any of that stuff. And it's an effective deterrent because, like I said, you're able to still protect yourself. You know, I get it that I always carry and I have no problem using lethal force. And I don't live in an area that tells me I can't carry or has a bunch of buildings that tell me I can't go in and can't carry. But I do have friends who live in places like this, and this has been a godsend for them because they can still protect themselves. Of course, you know, it's still a high crime area. Really is these where they have the strongest gun laws, and this is where Byrna law comes into play. So they're able to defend themselves without violating any of those municipal restrictions. And like I said, no waiting period, no background check. They ship it right to your front door. The Byrna SD, that's the best-selling model. They have others, but that's the one everybody I know has been getting. And you can choose your color, your projectiles, accessories, everything. When you go through Byrna.com/Dana, you can get 10% off your purchase. BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
Pastor Alan Jackson encourages Christians to get tough and fight.
The military had been turned into a social experiment. Apparently, they've been looting the coffers in Washington for a long time of hundreds of billions of dollars. Terminating the lives of our children. I mean, we all know the litany of things that are happening. It feels like it's going to take a determination from the people of faith if we're going to see this walked back to the place it needs to be for the sake of our children.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I thought this was America. Naked Florida man with a beer and women's panties was arrested for exposure at a crowded beach. Topsail State Park, the 60-year-old Freeport and more than one ways man was found naked, N-E-K-K-I-D, between two beach umbrellas. He had multiple beer cans next to him and a pair of women's underwear. He was booked into jail for his exposure of sexual, S-E-C-K-S-H-U-L, sexual organs, said officials. His name, Martin LaBeouf. Are you kidding me? Martin the Beef, for real, 60 years old. What is happening with his face in this photo, in his mugshot? Did he get punched in both cheeks?
Looks like he did.
But he was sitting between them two umbrellas, and there was no women with him, police noted, which is actually hysterical. He had ladies' underwear, but there weren't no ladies that was with him. And they said it was a crowded day at the beach. Families were out and about. And thankfully, they said only two adults. Those were the only people who saw him exposing himself. He was arrested and booked into Walton County Jail for being a pervert. $2,500 bond. There you go. I'm offended. That is an abridgment of my right to not see gross stuff. You know, like that's nasty. Also, let's see. A guy with a horn tattoo and on his face faces burglary charges. I am very surprised that a man who made poor choices about facial tattoos would also make poor choices about taking property that's not his. Aren't you so shocked? We have a lot more on the way. Third hour coming up. Stick with us. It's our friends over at Superbeats. Superbeats, you know the Superbeats chews. And you also now are aware of the berberine, the super berine. So super berine is all about supporting metabolic health and healthy blood sugar levels. And they do it with fewer pills to swallow. It's doctor-formulated, plant-based, unique form of berberine and Italian olive fruit extract. And the berberine is clinically studied to deliver 10 times higher absorption than standard berberine. And that means, you know, again, fewer pills to swallow. You're getting the metabolism, the healthy blood sugar support benefits in just one capsule a day. And if you're concerned about GI stress, don't be, because the superberine unique formula with the grapeseed extract improves tolerability. And you can get both the new superberine and the number one best-selling Super Beats Heart Chews at Sam's Club. Visit Sam's Club to get the Super Beats Heart Chews for heart health support and the superberine for healthy metabolism and blood sugar support.
And yet today we are here before the Senate because one person in our country wishes to raise taxes. Well, this is contrary to everything our country was founded upon. One person is not allowed to raise taxes. The Constitution forbids it. The Constitution was so concerned with the power of taxes, which some have said the power of taxes is the power to destroy. But our founding fathers were so concerned with this that they said, no, the president will not have the power to legislate. The president will not have the power to tax. Only Congress will be able to tax the people, and only by originating tax bills in the House.
So I agree with him, but also I've got questions, because if we can get rid of the income tax and just have, you know, just raise, I mean, how we did in the beginning, raise funds with tariffs, isn't that better? I feel like that's like that meme where the guy has to figure out which button he's going to push. And it's like a libertarian figuring out, do I want tariffs or do I want, like, it's, I know it's weird. We're going to talk to Carol Roth about this coming up at the bottom of the hour. That was Senator Rand Paul, by the way. He was on the floor. He opposes the tariff system. Thomas Sowell apparently also does, which is, boy, oh boy. I'm playing this because I feel like there's an overabundance of kind of one perspective as it pertains to commentary originating from the right. And these are all people. Thomas Sowell is an icon in conservatism, and Rand Paul's a, you know, pretty well respected soft libertarian. Audio soundbite. Oh, which one is this? I had it highlighted. 13. Is it yes, audio soundbite 13. This is Sowell.
What do you make of the present president of the United States and his tariffs?
It's painful to see what a ruinous decision from back in the 1920s being repeated. Now, insofar as he's using these tariffs to get various strategic things settled, and that he is satisfied with that. But if you've got to set off a worldwide trade war, that has a devastating history.
I understand his point two. It's difficult, I think, because there's so much uncertainty and there's so many different paths this can take that it's really kind of hard to, it's kind of hard to figure, because there's a lot of variables at play here, a lot of different economic ideologies at play here, you know? And like I said, we're going to talk to Carol Roth about this. I'm just made of questions, right? Like, for instance, couldn't you just theoretically say that to avoid having a trade war, if you're looking to onshore jobs, manufacturing, be more self-sufficient as a nation, couldn't you then just theoretically have a better business climate, less regulation, eliminate, you know, reduce corporate tax rate, eliminate income taxes, reduce federal spending? Wouldn't that be more effective in the long term? Now, here's the other side of that. Does that, it still doesn't remedy other nations that have punitively priced us out of fairly competing within their markets. So I get it. and you know, we're going to bring on the experts to talk about it. But I think that, that makes sense. And also, if they're so bad, why do other countries do it? Why do other countries use tariffs if they're so bad? But then the other side of that is, why are we wanting to copy poor economic policy? I can literally argue both sides of every aspect of this issue, which is why I'm so torn. But like I said, if we get rid of income taxes, yay, I don't care. Don't care. Don't care, Kane. I don't care. That's all I care about is that. My bottom line, me. How does this work for me? It's the biggest thing. But you understand that, though, because you're, and I think the thing it comes back to, well, and here's another aspect of it. When you talk about onshoring manufacturing, too, are we being too nostalgic? Now, here's, I know that's a weird question. Here's why I ask this. Because then it becomes a point of contention with labor. And all of the examples that I've seen everybody give when it concerns manufacturing and jobs are jobs that predate a lot of the automated processes that we have and a lot of automation, period. Are we taking that into account when we talk about all this? I'm not saying export jobs, but I'm just saying, are we going to bring back the right? Are we being realistic and or are we being anachronistic when we discuss the types of jobs that we're looking to onshore? Does that make sense? I'm going to ask Carol Roth about this, but that's the other question I have. Because think about it. Like, look, you go to a McDonald's, there are entire McDonald's where almost everything is automated now. There are so many different types of manufacturing where so many things are automated. And so the jobs, if they haven't been replaced by automation, then the training changes. You know, my stepdad worked in a huge factory, and he had, before he retired, many, many years, and his job would change as technology progressed, right? As automation progressed. So his job, and it was still the same job, but how he started and then how he retired, what that job looked like was entirely different at the end of his career. And so I'm kind of, you know, looking at that as well. I know it's like a weird way to ask it, but I think it's like the evolution of what those jobs look like. And the way that some people talk about it, especially on the right, on the left, it's a given. But I don't think that they're doing this because I think it's a good point that they're bringing up. And I don't know how much that factors in all of this as well. It's a weird thing. And, you know, is it going to be short term? How long? What is short term? When we talk about short term strategies. So I think all of these questions are legitimate. The one sticking point that I always come back to, though, and this is the one perspective I have that I think everybody can agree on, and it's one that I wholeheartedly support, is that the sequencing of this is off. I feel like tax cuts should have happened before tariffs. And then I know that people say, well, getting that through the House is very problematic. Well, then it's going to be problematic regardless if they don't get it through the House, because if you're having an additional expense, and that's what it is, levied upon the American taxpayer without tax relief, either way, it is a problem. One is more disastrous for Republicans than the other. And that's what it comes down to. We have to have that relief, because Democrats are going out with a talking point that cannot be refuted. And I don't like saying this. I want to vomit. You know how it's like, I want to throw up a little bit in my mouth. I want to vomit in everybody's mouth. Kane hates it. But you see, I don't want them to be right. I don't want them to be right at all. Not at all. So I think that's something that we got to really think about. I don't want that talking point of, oh, well, we have this is going to be the biggest, one of the biggest tax increases in history without tax relief. Yes, that's true. Without tax relief. Yes. And if we don't have tax relief and everything's so expensive, how are we going to progress towards what's going to cost in terms of the evolution of automation and bringing all of those things up to, you know, current time when the market's going to be so restricted because everybody's broke. These are all things that we got to take into consideration. There's a lot of nuance here, and the nuance is important. And I don't think that there's a wrong question. And I don't like to see people slam for asking questions. I think everybody has the right to ask a question and fully understand this issue. So Carol Roth is going to talk to us about that. Thomas Sowell, though, is no, I mean, he's really good. I don't know if there's anybody alive whose opinion on a lot of the stuff I respect more, but I think that's he brings up some good points. And then Kane, stop typing in Slack. Get in your mic. What are you talking about?
Well, the refinancing of debt, if you look at the 10-year yield curve, it's heading downward. Same with the 2-year yield. So imagine in 2025, we have $9 trillion that are coming due in regards to having to pay. So refinancing that debt at a lower interest rate is going to save literally billions over the next time that that debt becomes due in another decade or whenever that is. So if we're able to refinance the debt into a lower interest rate, we can wipe billions off of the interest we would normally pay on this large sum that we call the debt. So that's also something that Carol Roth.
But how realistic is it that we could do that? I feel like that's a Carol question.
Well, it's realistic. It happens every time whenever the feds decide to lower the rate. As a matter of fact, Jay Powell's going to be talking or is talking
now.
Yeah,
about the lowering the rate. To what?
So that's the thing. Well, they're saying they're now talking about 5 cuts before the end of the year. If they suspect inflationary pressure because of tariffs. So what he says today is going to be important, and we're going to talk to Carol about that in just a little bit, actually.
So, yeah, we'll have all that good stuff. All right, a couple of other things that I want to make sure we are hitting on as well. Where did I have this? I had a couple of things here for you. So we've got the debt. I'd rather jump off my roof than talk about reconciliation. Can we save that for next week? Let's say this. I do want to update really quickly because this story of the teenager in Frisco, because everybody's talking about whether or not it's going to be a race issue or not. And I think it's just, you know, I think it's a combination of bad parenting and a young adult being hot tempered. And I think that he should have the book thrown at him because I don't look at it as necessarily an issue of race. I really don't. I think that where are the parents with this? How do you take a knife? So Kane was telling me that this Carmelo Anthony, the 17-year-old who stabbed to death a kid at a track meet and his identical twin watched in horror, he apparently was already in trouble at school because this dude brought a knife to school, this Carmelo Anthony, the accused. And apparently, Lorraine had noted that when he was arrested, he said, "I'm not alleged, I did it." Per New York Post headline, the chilling words the teen told cops after allegedly stabbing a Texas football star, Austin Metcalf, to death. He died in his twin brother's arms. His brother's going to be forever. Wow. And when he was arrested at the stadium, he told police, quote, "I'm not alleged, I did it."
Does that sound like remorse?
No. That's why the Anthony needs to be put to death. I'm all for the death penalty in this case, completely. And he's like, "Oh, it was in self-defense." No, it wasn't. It wasn't in self-defense. You gotta be kidding me. I don't believe it. I don't believe it for a second. Because this Anthony had already been in trouble for taking a knife to school. He had already been in trouble for taking a knife to school. And he had been suspended briefly for it or something?
This is CBS 11. So apparently he had been suspended previously for bringing a knife to school.
Gosh.
So it's not like this wasn't flagged in some way already.
So they knew for a while.
Yeah.
And he'd already been in trouble. It sounded like the antagonist here was always looking for a fight. I mean, my perspective in reading what's being publicly reported, it sounds like he was already looking for a fight. Yeah, throw the book at this 17-year-old. That's asinine. This family's destroyed. All Family Pharmacy is, this is a great partner for the show, and I've used them. They've helped me out quite a bit, especially when I was developing, as I told you before, strep throat. You know what that's like, and you also know what you need if you've ever had it before. All Family Pharmacy can help you out in a pinch. Shipping is about 2 to 4 days on average, and you can also get things overnighted, as I did before. But they also have, you know, actual real treatments that Big Pharma and the government under the Biden administration worked together to shut down. They wanted to stop you from accessing things like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. I mean, you know, there's certain preventative things that that you can have access to that don't work with Big Pharma's agenda if you have access to them. So that's why a lot of these alternatives and therapeutics are dismissed. At All Family Pharmacy, though, that's not what they do. You can visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and use code Dana for 10% off of your entire order. They provide ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antibiotics, and more, the very medications the system previously tried stopping you from accessing. Simple, fast, and affordable. No insurance, no problem. They got straightforward pricing, online ordering. And it's super easy to get your everyday maintenance medications, too. They make it so easy. Fast shipping, no hassle, no gatekeepers. And everything is made in the United States. Manufacture the inputs, everything from here, right here in the U.S. of A. So you have high standards for quality and safety. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and get 10% off with promo code Dana10. Be prepared. Protect yourself and your family today. allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, code Dana10 to save 10%.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Hunter Biden, apparently, I don't know if you all saw this headline, but it just keeps coming out about the former first son. He apparently got the Obama administration to help a Burisma subsidiary, according to a new bombshell letter that actually included the quote, "See where our interests may overlap." Very interesting. The documents came out, which have come out 73 days after Biden's presidency ended, show that almost 60-year-old Hunter Biden solicited and received commitments of State Department assistance for a Burisma geothermal subsidiary's work in Italy. The then U.S. ambassador to Rome had received a letter from Hunter asking for help and wrote to the then second son in July of 2016 that he was designating a subordinate to help grease the wheels for Burisma. And they were looking to firm up relations with a Tuscany's regional president, Enrico Rossi. So interesting. That's all came out. Look at that. It's just more and more stuff coming out. A British man's body was flown 3,700 miles to a deep freeze chamber for a chance of reawakening. Not going to happen. Would you want to be reawakened? I don't think so. An orangutan bit a park zookeeper, Woodland Park zookeeper. You got to watch out for them. They look all nice. Carol Roth up next.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized, informative episodes perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
This is Big March jobs report. Non-farm payrolls beats estimates. 228,000 jobs. That would be the strongest this year, and it would comp to 323,000 in D's of last year.
I mean, the jobs numbers, it's encouraging, but I'm a little worried about overall, like everything just, there's so much uncertainty. And I feel like basically when you ask a question, nobody agrees with each other. None of the economists agree with each other on social media. And asking a question of anyone on social media is like shaking a magic eight ball. But I do appreciate how X is loaded with experts now on tariffs, tariff experts. They were all experts, Kane, last week and what?
What?
It changes.
Oh, yeah. No.
Every week it changes. Yeah.
I think that's why he changed the name to X, because now everyone's an expert on X.
Oh, for the love. I hate you now. That was almost a dad joke. It's okay. It's Friday. Oh, my gosh. Let's move on. We got to get going because we got to get our guest on. She's like the smartest person in money, and she's also like the least hyperbolic, I have to say. Carol Roth is a recovering investment banker. She has some of the absolute best hair in all of television commentary. And her book, You Will Own Nothing, Your War with the New Financial World Order and How to Fight Back, is the thriller, the scariest thing that's ever been written in 10 years. And you can find her on X. She has her newsletter, which you should get, carolroth.com/news. And she joins us now via Skype, which is dying. It's going to go away. Carol, it's good to see you. Wow. Nothing to talk about this week, huh?
Yeah, no, as you know, I like to say on X, looks like I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.
Right? Okay, I am made of questions, and you are the only person who explains this so eloquently and breaks it down. I know what I know, but then I stop knowing things and I just go to you. So I made a questions on this, and some of my questions have to do with, it seems like obvious. It's, some of this stuff seems pretty obvious. Like, for instance, you know, I hear these people say, well, if tariffs are so bad, then why do other countries use them? And I think you said this, I may be stealing from you, in that, well, why do we want to adopt bad economic policy? I'm pretty sure that's you. And that I'm like, that I agree with that. So you give, I want to know Carol's take on this, because I think that is the take to have.
Yes, I love that I'm out influencing the masses and bringing some common sense. So yeah, it's you know, why, you know, if socialism is so bad, why are these other countries doing it? I have no idea, but they are. And that doesn't mean that we want to do it too. These are all socialist and communist countries. So the idea that, you know, us with our $29 trillion GDP and the highest standard of living wants to take on their policies makes no sense. The policies of tariffs and some of the other, you know, taxes and customs these other countries add, what it does, it makes products for their citizens more expensive and it gives them less choice. So the reason they do it and we don't want to do that is because we want things to be cheaper and have more choice for Americans, which is why we are winning.
Yes.
And by the way, just to like throw in another one of these issues, you know, we're not being bullied and taken advantage of by Canada or by Greece or by any of these other countries. Folks, get a grip. I understand that, you know, we'd like for things to be more free and for there to be fewer barriers. And I agree that would be great for everyone, particularly for the citizens of other countries. But our economy is not, you know, in shambles because of this.
Ooh, that's because the way that you hear it is, if we don't do this, then America is going to die and the founders will have lived for naught. And right. All it's, you know, the weeping and gnashing of the teeth, raining. I mean, that's what you read this and you think, ooh, this is, we should maybe do this. Here's the other question that kind of dovetails into it. Couldn't, and I'm not trying to be myopic, but couldn't the same results be achieved through better domestic economic regulation and, you know, lower corporate tax rate and lower taxes all around and less government spending and a better business climate? I mean, theoretically, couldn't we achieve the same thing?
Yes, I mean, you are speaking my language, and I think that's really the big disconnect here. You know, right now we have a bunch of people who voted for President Trump because the policies of the Biden administration completely destroyed the middle and working class. And they saw, you know, incredible inflation and more barriers, and they just wanted some certainty, right? Some certainty in prices, some stability in their retirement plans. They wanted deregulation. They wanted the tax policy to have more certainty. And even in areas like manufacturing, I mean, one of the reasons we are not competitive in manufacturing is because of regulation. So if we had more deregulation, exactly, you know, we would be able to achieve more growth. It's in that same vein. The other thing that I have recently been debunking is this whole idea that somehow bringing back manufacturing to America is going to save the middle and working classes jobs. And the reality is that even though that was the case, you know, Bill Clinton walked China basically into the WTO, destroyed manufacturing jobs, absolutely hollowed out a huge part of this country. There's no debating that. But today things are different. Those people have either retired or switched, you know, their spot in the workforce. Right now, Dana, we have a shortage of skilled workers. We don't have enough plumbers. We don't have enough electricians. We don't have enough welders. We don't have enough HVAC technicians, on and on. Even in manufacturing, we don't have enough, you know, skilled machinists and the like. So the idea that somehow we're going to save jobs, we can't even fill the, you know, well-paying jobs that we have for the middle and working class as it is. There's an article that the Wall Street Journal did recently on the fact that, you know, from a national security standpoint, you know, having not enough skilled workers is one of our biggest issues because we can't build submarines and the like. The Taiwan semiconductor plant in Arizona, they actually had to import workers from Taiwan because we couldn't build it, and it still wasn't done on time. So a lot of these narratives, they sound like a good old throwback, and we're going to recapture what happened It's 2025. We need to move forward and we need to deal with the economic realities of today.
That is the first time I ever heard anyone make that point. What you just said, that's a brilliant point that I don't think enough people have considered. I mean, we did go from talking about having a shortage of workers and everyone was saying we don't need you with the H-1B visas and all this. And now all of a sudden it does. Yeah, that doesn't make sense. And that no one else has made that point. So I think that some of the people need to pick a lane. Which is it? Yeah.
This entire discussion is filled with conflicts. You cannot on one hand say the tariffs are meant to make us wealthy and make all these other countries pay, and then say at the same time, no, we're just trying to achieve trade parity and not have tariffs. You cannot say that it's trying to make us wealthy and at the same time say, no, we're just trying to have more manufacturing. Those things are in conflict. So pick a reason why you like tariffs. And if you want to argue that, that's fine. But this idea that you can make all of these different arguments at the same time that conflict with each other, it's political hackery, and it's just not fun to have to continue to dispute.
We're talking with our super smart friend Carol Roth, who literally should be running the Treasury and setting financial fiscal policy, but you know, that's the perfect world. Another conflict that I was thinking of as well, now that you in our conversation here, the two different premises. Like, Trump is using this as a temporary tool to get leverage to settle the score. But then I hear the talking point, and I'm going to be honest, I'm totally selfish on this one and I love it. Well, what if we just got rid of the income tax and we just use tariffs the way that it was originally designed, and that's going to fund that's going to fund the government? And those two things seem to contradict.
They do. They absolutely do. And the idea that we're going to get rid of income tax and that you're going to be able to have enough tariffs to be able to supplant that is also a math that doesn't math. But there is something else that, as we're talking about, you know, kind of the actual reasons versus the stated reasons, there is something else I want to bring up, Dana, that's floating out there. It's something that I brought up. We've kind of danced around it a few times. But one of the big issues that we're facing right now is that the interest on our debt is just too high. We have too much debt. Our interest payments have now exceeded the defense spending of this country, and you cannot have a country that works if you're paying more for interest than you are for defense. So one of the things that had been floated, and Trump seems to now be winking and nodding to, is that they were willing to perhaps do something shocking in order to bring down the financing costs, which means basically bring down the yield on the 10-year treasury. And it seems like that potentially what they're trying to do is effectively crash the stock market to take the people who are invested in the stock market and scare them into going for a safe haven investment like treasuries. And when you have more people going into treasuries, because the treasuries and their yields trade in the inverse, it actually brings the treasury yield down. So we were worried about it at one point in our discussions going closer to 5 and creating an issue that way. It's now come down. It's actually under 4% now. We haven't seen that in a long time. And for every 100 basis points, 1% that goes down, we have about $9 trillion in debt that needs to be refinanced or newly financed this year. So that would be about $90 billion in interest savings. The challenge is, can they get it down to a point where it makes a difference for long enough to be able to finance that massive amount without breaking everything else? And also, if they cause a recession, they suppress the stock market, they're not going to be taking in as much revenue, which may actually explode the deficit and do away with all of the good that's causing. So it seems like, you know, in theory, a good idea, but it's a very messy tactic with a lot of execution risk. So that's just another thing that we have to throw in there, because, you know, whatever happens, by the way, somebody's going to declare victory and say, see, Trump was right about tariffs, no matter what it is. Even if tomorrow he says, okay, they've decided to, you know, shave off 0.001% on our tariffs, it's a huge win. Everyone's going to say, see, tariffs worked.
That's a very good point as well. We're talking to our friend Carol Roth, who's taking everyone to school today. We're all going to get our degrees, our diplomas after this interview. I noticed, so I think everybody was waiting for Jerome Powell to come in clutch. No. What happened, Carol?
So to that point we're just making, that the idea that we need to have interest rates go lower, I think that they were hoping to get an assist from the Fed. The Fed controls the short end of the yield curve, so the short-term interest rates, where the market controls the longer end, like the 10-year that we were talking about. But you want those to be in lockstep, and it's much easier to get the 10-year down in theory if you've got the Fed making cuts at the front end of the yield curve. And so the hope was that Jerome Powell was going to come out and say, with all this uncertainty and, you know, stock market and whatnot, that we're going to cut rates. You know, we see that that's going to be happening. And he came out basically today in a speech and was like, nah, you know, we think the tariffs are going to be inflationary. So, you know, we want to hold on for a little while. So they are getting absolutely no help if that is their actual plan from the Fed, which means that they're going to have to stay the course even harder if their plan is to crash the stock market. And just buckle up, everyone. Just buckle up, because, you know, this could be a wild ride here.
Last question for you, our dear friend, yes, Carol Roth. So should we all run hysterically to the banks and take everything, yep, out and bury it in our yard?
Lord, no. I mean, you know, this is what happens all the time, is you get these moments of panic and people end up selling at the bottom. I mean, you know, you should have done it when Warren Buffett did it, you know, back in December and went to cash when things,
yes,
were,
and everyone was like, what is he doing? What is Warren Buffett up to?
And I talked about it. I talked,
yes,
about
the
Buffett indicator, and people made fun of me and said, you're so simplistic. No, I am not. And so we knew that this was coming.
I actually retweeted you, not to interrupt you, but I remember retweeting you on that. Yes.
I know. And now is not the time. So we're going to let this play out. The reality is, from my perspective, this is impacting Apple, Nike, Restoration Hardware, Amazon, Walmart. Like, somebody's going to have a come to Jesus discussion here. So hopefully within the next several weeks, there's going to be some sort of, whether it's a Mar-a-Lago Accord, a declaration of victory, something. But this cannot go on for long periods of time. If it does, we're going to be having very different conversations, Dana. They probably involve guns and ammo, and not in the way that you'd like to talk about that.
I don't know. I may want, well, unless it's less ammo. I don't know. That's the only, our good friend Carol Roth. Well, that's a great way to just kickstart our weekend. Yay. So happy. We're all going to be broke, and we will be in the desert eating cat food, just like Kennedy said. I kid. I'm kidding. Carol Roth, always a pleasure. Go get her newsletter, carolroth.com/news, and her book, You Will Own Nothing, A Terrifying Tale of New Financial World Order. Always such a pleasure to talk with you, even though sometimes you scare us half to death. God, we love you. Thank you so much.
Have a great weekend.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Real quick question about the issue going on with Tesla, the boycott. What's your take on the whole situation with the violence at the dealerships?
Yeah, no, I'm opposed to violence. I don't believe in violence. People can voice their opposition, but we can't live in a violent nation.
You know what? I'm going to give props to Representative Perry Farrell here.
That's not her name.
Yeah.
That's not her name.
That's what he's doing when he's not with Jane's Addiction.
That's Rosa.
DeLauro?
Yeah.
Well, that's the same person. No, I kid. I don't mean to be mean. It's all in good and fun. The like one Democrat to come out without caveats and say that there needs to not be any violence. I'll give credit to where it's due. One other quick thing. The lady who was convicted of chopping up her boyfriend and tried to attack her defense attorney in the courtroom, her name is Taylor Shabusiness.
Shabusiness.
Mind your shabusiness. We save, mark this for Monday. All right, today's stupidity came.
All right. Well, I don't think we have time to actually play it, but
gosh,
it's Ellie.
It's Taylor Shabusiness.
It's because of Taylor Shabusiness. Crying out loud. Ellie Mistel was talking about how we need to get rid of our Constitution. It's just a big piece of crap. So that's the left.
There it goes.
Happy weekend, everyone.
Folks, I hope you have a great weekend. Don't forget, find us YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe. Substack, Chapter and Verse. Go and subscribe to that as well. Good stuff that comes out on the reg. I will be back with you on Monday.